Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 149, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios here in downtown Wheeling on a crisp fall day. A little rain out there, a little wind, leaves are turning. It's Halloween week, so happy Halloween to everybody. If you're going trick-or-treating tonight, enjoy that and stay warm and be safe out there. Should be a fun night for some trick-or-treating action. You got high school football coming up here on the Watchdog tonight. We only got one game, though. Wheeling Park off, Wheeling Central off. Wheeling Park will be back in action next week. Wheeling Central awaits their playoff seeding and opponent here in a couple of weeks in West Virginia as their regular season is done. Park will wrap it up next week against John Marshall on the road at Monarch Stadium, and the Monarchs are in action tonight at Monarch Stadium against Point Pleasant. The Big Blacks come up north to take on the Monarchs. You can hear that one on WVOI, WKKX, and at WatchdogNetwork.com. Pre-game show will be a special feature show, which will lead you into the game. Coach Heinerman and Coach Treveri on that one for you this evening. So enjoy the high school football action right here on the Watchdog Network. Got WVU on Saturday, and the Browns are off this week, so no Brownies on Sunday. Watchdog Network, your place for high school, college, and pro football. Thanks for listening all year long. It's hard to believe Ohio into the playoffs. West Virginia playoffs are approaching, and we will have all the playoff action for Wheeling Park, Wheeling Central, and John Marshall right here on the Watchdog Network. All right, time to get down to business. We got a lot to pack in a show today in an hour, and we're not going to waste any time. But first, let me start it off by saying shout out to my man Mike Bruner and some of his buddies down the Cave Club that give us a listen here on Better's Last Stand. We appreciate that, guys, very, very much, and thanks for being loyal listeners. We always enjoy getting feedback from our listeners. My man Jeff Petrie passed that message along to me the other day. So thanks for listening, fellas, and hopefully we can give you another entertaining show here as the day goes on. All right, time to get into it here. Halloween night here in the Ohio Valley. It's the sports equinox. We got lots of things happening here. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, everything going for the moment. World Series getting towards the end, but still got a few games left. We were up 20 units last week, 20.35 to be exact, not bad. Racing helped us out a great deal. NASCAR was very successful for us last week. College football, we were 10-8, 89, 86, and 3 so far on the season. It's almost exactly 50%, a little bit better, 50 point whatever, XYZ there in the decimal slots, but about 50%. NFL 5-5, 53-51-1 on the season, 50.04%, so we're not hitting in the profit range yet. That's not good for the football side of things. NASCAR winner, William Byron. Second straight week, we had Briscoe last week at a big price. We got Byron at a decent price, 9-1. He wins at Martinsville to punch his ticket to the championship race next week. We had four racers in the top four. We actually had the superfecta in the NASCAR. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, all four positions. We were up 21.25 units on NASCAR alone. Byron, Blaney, Elliott, Chastain, the top four. We had them all. Soccer, 15-16-3. Not our best week. EPL was a catastrophe. Bad reads by me. But sometimes you don't really know when teams coming out of European play how they're going to play. And the teams who were in Europe last week, a lot of them struggled mightily. So not a good week there. 15-16-3, could be worse. 62-42-12, though, since September, 54% in soccer thus far. That percentage dropping a little bit. We were in the 60s. Now we're down to the 54 range. But I feel good about it. It's a tough time. When there's a World Cup year, you got these lots of international breaks. You have these League Cup breaks, and you got European action, and you got different formats now towards with all these leagues, and teams are playing three games in 7 days. I mean, it's a lot of football, but that's okay. Major League Baseball, as I said, series tied up at 2-2 right now, and I think you're going to have an interesting game five, which when I'm taping this will be tonight of the taping. So you should have some action tonight one way or another. We'll be back in Toronto for a game six and potentially a game seven this weekend. And I don't know if there's anything worth taking a shot right now. Ohtani, who wasn't that impressive on the mound the other night, but he is the overwhelming favorite to be the MVP. I probably still would try to go against him. But these people were just obsessed with this guy, calling him Babe Ruth and saying that he's better. And I just don't know how we're able to make that assessment quite yet. If you go back and actually look at the numbers, Babe Ruth's pitching numbers far exceeded what Ohtani did. And Babe Ruth played in a dead ball era with a ball that was probably like hitting a, uh, I like I'm trying to think of what it would be. What kind of ball would actually be? It would not be something that would carry very far. It'd be like hitting a piece of coal or something. It's just not going to go. I just don't know how you can make that assessment. Babe Ruth had access to zero of the amenities that Ohtani currently lives, and it's marginal if he's better or not. So I still got to give my check mark would still go to Babe Ruth just because of the era that he played in. It's just like nothing. I mean, if he had any of the things Ohtani had, I would expect him to have been even better than he was. So to me, that right there, you put Ohtani back in that era currently, he's not going to be what he is now. It's just not, because he just physically wouldn't have been. He wouldn't have been injected with whatever, if you want to call them steroids or some sort of human growth hormones and all these other things they pass off as healthcare these days in the world of athlete development. And he just wouldn't have had access to any of that stuff, supplements and training regimens and equipment and the balls that are wound so tight that they fly out of every park in baseball because people like home runs. You're just not going to have that. And really, Babe Ruth, it was harder to get people out in his era because you didn't throw the velocity that these guys throw at now. If you get a bat on the ball, it's probably going to go out. Babe Ruth, he had to get guys out, kind of a little bit more creative ways, in my opinion. Again, I know Ohtani's probably the best player of our era, but I'm still not certain that he's better than Barry Bonds as far as hitting goes. But the pitching, to me, he's a pedestrian pitcher. He's good, but not great. But that's just me. And everybody has great outings sometimes, you know, when you're that good. I mean, he's talented, no doubt about it. But enough Ohtani talk. He's a cheater. He's probably should be in prison for gambling. Well, maybe not prison, but he definitely shouldn't be playing baseball right now. I think it's pretty obvious that he was involved in that and that betting thing, and his interpreter took the fall for it. And I don't see, the more you read about it, I mean, it's just been buried by Major League Baseball. So anyway, guy shouldn't even be playing, but enough about him, not wasting my time. Favorites, 25-18 in baseball playoffs so far, 22-20 on the under so far in the playoffs thus far. How about the Brad Paisley element, Wheeling, Glendale native here, and his singing in the national anthem has produced some of the longest games there is. Game 2 in 2017 went 11 innings. Game 3, 2018, 18 innings. Game 1, 2024, 10 innings. And Game 3 in 2025 went 18 innings. So Brad Paisley, he sings the anthem. The game goes long. So play the over on everything whenever you see him lining up to sing the anthem. NHL update. We got some trends here for you. We had Frozen Frenzy the other night. Had every team in action. Pretty good stuff. Starting the games at 6 o'clock hour and went all the way up to 11 o'clock. So if you like hockey, it was a good night for you. First period over so far. VGK, Vegas Golden Knights, 7-2 to the over. The Islanders, 6-2 to the over. Boston, 7-3 to the over. Toronto, 6-3. San Jose, 6-3. All to the over in the first period. First period unders. Florida Panthers, 8-2. Washington Capitals, 7-2. New Jersey, 7-2. Philly, 6-2. Edmonton, 7-3. Second period overs. Vancouver, 9-1. St. Louis, 8-1. New York Islanders 8-1, Edmonton 8-2, and the LA Kings 8-2. So the Islanders, man, some score fest in their game so far. Definite over team. Second period unders, Rangers 8-2, CBJ 5-3. Third period overs, Ottawa 8-1, Edmonton 8-1, Minnesota 8-2. 7-2 teams include Buffalo, Washington, Detroit, and San Jose. Goal in the first 10, yes, teams 8-2, Boston. 7-2 teams, Pittsburgh, Tampa, San Jose, Vegas Golden Knights, and the Seattle Kraken. So some interesting trends there for the NHL. Period stuff, very, very good. Very, very interesting data on the period. So you can keep track of those and try to find yourself some winners. Pair up. The teams that I just went through, rewind the show, go to pineroomstudios.com or wherever you get your podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, Apple, wherever you want, BLS, Bettors Last Stand. Check it out. And you will be able to go back and you can chart these. And if you got a situation where you got VGK playing against Toronto and you say, oh boy, VGK 7-2 the first period over. Toronto 6-3. It's a pretty good percentage. We're going to go first period over. You may have to pay a premium on these because they're a little pricey, but you can round robin them. I don't think that's a terrible strategy. I know I'm not a parlay person for the most part, but occasionally when you got a situation like this, you may have to do that to get creative in how to make a little bit of money. NASCAR, we are into the final race of the season. Last week, we punched a winner here with William Byron. He had a very good car in Martinsville. He led 304 laps. Ryan Blaney had 177 laps led. So they were by far the two best cars. They finished 1-2. We had 1, 2, 3, 4. 8 and 9 of the plays that we gave out. So very, very good. 6 of the top 10 drivers we gave out here on Bettors Last Stand. And this week, it's pretty simple. You're down to 4 drivers, and it's the best of the best. That's what's going to come down to. You are in a situation where it's win or go home. Top finisher of these 4, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, William Byron, and Chase Briscoe. Your 4 finalists, they are the 4. One of them will win the NASCAR Cup 2025 championship. Denny Hamlin, 2-1. Larson, +250. Byron, +275. And Briscoe, +350. Now, the interesting thing about these guys, they all have wins here at Phoenix. Denny Hamlin's got 2 wins and a 10.6 average. Larson, 10.7 average with a win. Byron, 10.8 average with a win. Chase Briscoe, 18.4, so not as good an average, but he does have a win here at Phoenix. So all these guys, very live. This is a very, very even championship race here. So I'm excited about that. That's going to be coming your way on Sunday afternoon around 3 o'clock. You got Denny Hamlin, +325 to win the race. Kyle Larson, $5. William Byron, +450. And Chase Briscoe, +650. To win the race. Chris Bell won this race back in the spring. He led 105 laps. William Byron led 83 laps. You also had Joey Logano leading 81. And, Joey Logano not going to be much of a factor here as far as the championship. But he did win this race last year because he won the championship. He led 107 laps. And you have Chris Bell who led 143 in that. So Chris Bell, to me, has had the strongest car over the last calendar year here at Phoenix. He's led the most. And then if you go back to the beginning of the season last year, Chris Bell won that race leading 50 laps. So Chris Bell, who's not in the championship here, will be a factor in this race. I think you're going to have a lot of guys in this race that are going to be a factor. And where do you go when you have a lot of guys that are kind of on even footing? Well, you separate it by going to the odds. You have to. That's what you got to do. You got to find the best price. And for the guys in the championship, if I had to make a pick who's going to win this title, it would be Kyle Larson at 5-1. I think you get the best value on him to win this race. 650 on Briscoe, a little short for me. He's still going to be a contender. I think all these guys are not without a shot. Byron, can he win back-to-back? That's tricky. Momentum's with him, but maybe a little bit of a letdown, although it's hard to imagine. But you maxed out to get in last week. Can you do that again? It's hard. Denny Hamlin, the seasoned veteran, looking for a championship for the first time. Can he do it? He's won just about everything. Can he finish off the career with the title? Larson, to me, is where the best money is. But we're going to take a shot with a guy to win this race who's not in the championship. We're going to go with Chris Bell at +850. My second choice, Chase Elliott at 18-1. I think 18-1 on him is absolutely absurd. His average here has been very, very strong over the years, 12.2 in the win. So 18-1 on him, ridiculous. 16.3 average for Ross Chastain. We'll use him too. Can find him just a little bit south of 30-1, so about 28-1 range. Chris Buescher, 50-1. He's had some really, really strong runs here recently. 3 top fives in his last 5 races here at Phoenix, so he's going to be a use. Josh Berry's run well here, 16.0 average for him. He's 40-1. Daniel Suarez, +250, which is, $25,000. Jeez, I can't talk. That 250-1 is what that's the simplest way to say it. I don't know why. I usually always say it that way. I don't know why I was getting crazy with the number there. 250-1 for Daniel Suarez, and then Zane Smith at 400-1. He was ninth here in the spring, so a little bit of an under-the-radar play there. Not that he's going to win, but you can get a nice price on the top 10, as we did with Todd Gilliland last week, who wouldn't be known to be a good racer at Martinsville, but he ran very, very well. So our plays, Zane Smith, Daniel Suarez, Josh Berry, Chris Buescher, Chase Briscoe, Briscoe is not a play, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, Chris Bell, our top play. You can find those at BLS_PRP. Nothing for F1 this week as they are out of action. They will be in Brazil the following week. But the championship, really tightening up. Lando Norris won last week, and he is now at 357 points. He leads Oscar Piastri by 1 point at 356. Max Verstappen in third with 321. Sao Paulo, Vegas, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi still remain on the F1 circuit. We'll have more talk about the Brazilian Grand Prix on next week's show. Talking some news and notes from about the sports betting industry before we jump into some football and some horse racing that we got. We got a special treat for those horse racing fans out there. It's Breeders' Cup week, and obviously a very exciting time there. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Breeders' Cup here in the coming moments of Bettor's Last Stand. So, all right, so let's talk about bad beats last week. Anybody who lives on the East Coast is a bad beat when the baseball game goes 18 innings and starts at 8 o'clock Eastern time. The thing doesn't finish to darn near 3 o'clock in the morning or after 3 o'clock in the morning our time. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I hate that stuff. It's just miserable. Navy and Florida Atlantic. This one was a tough one. Navy minus 14.5. Fortunately, we didn't have it. We had the over in this game, and I would say if you had the under, I'm not going to say it's a bad beat, but it was you were feeling pretty good about your under, and it all came apart for you. So Navy land 14.5 against FAU last week, and they score to take a 37-13 lead with 5:38 to go. And they're saying, wow, well, I mean, Navy's probably, even if FAU comes down and scores, I mean, that makes it a 16-point game. I'm still in a pretty good spot there. Navy's just going to, you know, get a couple first downs. That's what they do. They run the ball. They'll just run it out. Well, it didn't work. Florida Atlantic scores three times, including one time they get an onside kick, and they score in the final 5 minutes of the game. They score three touchdowns. Ends up being 42-32 the final. That was a tough one to swallow if you had Navy there. Total control, and then it all falls apart for you. 40 points in the fourth quarter between these two teams. Industry news. Everybody in the world's got to be aware right now of this NBA betting scandal that broke last Thursday. It was the day before we taped this show, the day before. Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, Damon Jones, among others, arrested, indicted by the FBI. And it doesn't look good. You have organized crime involved here, the Lucchese, Gambino, Genovese, and Bonanno crime families. Everybody but the Colombo crime family of the five crime families of New York was implicated in this. Terry Rozier, the prop manipulation thing we talked about, Billups and Jones, the poker and poker scams. They were defrauding people. There was information being traded out there. I don't know who these guys got in with, but it looks like the mob, and these guys had their hooks in them pretty good, and there's some really bad stuff out there, and it's going to continue to come out. I think this is like a small portion of it, but I think you're going to see some bigger names potentially drawn into this when people start talking to try to save their own skin. The NBA said they cleared Terry Rozier. They investigated this themselves. I think it was a cover-up on their side, so they look even worse than they normally do. Just a senseless act, crazy things going on there with the NBA. And it's become public in the last 24 to 48 hours that the IRS had an $8 million tax lien on Terry Rozier during the time where he was manipulating props. That doesn't seem like a coincidence to me. Terry Rozier claims he's innocent. We shall see. Everybody gets their day in court. Next thing coming around the bend, though, is this college scandal. There's a lot of things happening with that. We talk about it about, you know, 8 to 10 schools that are involved in this, and you're having some transfers being held up in the portal from potential kids who were involved in this who are not being allowed to transfer, which is good while things are getting sorted out. There's other players and programs that are not cooperating with the investigation, so I'm assuming at some point they're going to be subpoenaed and they're going to have to, and that's going to be ugly. And then kind of pigtailing off of that, the SEC is asking the NCAA to rescind the pending rule that would allow athletes and athletic department staff to bet on pro sports. So you're starting to get some pushback here. I think this makes people very nervous whenever this kind of stuff happens. But remember, this is what legalized gambling does. It protects you, and you've been protected. People found out what these guys were doing, so that's a good thing. All right, let's talk about ticket counts in college football. Last week, our highest ticket counts last week, Navy, 93% on them, minus 16 against FAU, a loss. 91% on Arkansas, minus 1 against Auburn, a loss. 86% on Houston, plus 7.5 against Arizona State. That one was a win. Bama, 86% on them, minus 11.5 against South Carolina, loss. 85% on Louisville, minus 25 against BC, loss. 85% on SMU, minus 3.5 at Wake, lost outright. 82% on App, plus 14.5 against Old Dominion. That one was good. 81%. We told you about the public dog, and people were betting UCLA. And why, I don't know. People were all of a sudden in love with UCLA, 81% on them, 25.5 points they were getting, and they got absolutely murdered by Indiana, 56-6. We gave you out Indiana right here on Bettors Last Stand. That was an easy game to spot. This week, 93% on Georgia Tech, -5.5 at NC State, 92% on UAB, +12.5 at UConn, 90% on Boise, -17.5 versus Fresno State at home, 89% on San Diego State, -10.5 against Wyoming, 86% on Ohio State, -20.5 against Penn State, 84.5 on Rutgers, +13.5 against Illinois, 83% on Kansas, -25 against Oklahoma State, 82% on UCF, +4.5 against Baylor, 82% on the Mountaineers, +13.5 against Houston, and 80% on Georgia, -7 against Florida in the cocktail party. Lopsided ticket counts in the NFL. Last week's results, 84% on Atlanta, crushed, lost outright. 81% on Cincinnati, -6.5, lost outright. 81% on San Francisco, +1.5, lost outright. 80% on Tampa, -4.5, took a while, but they got there. 79% on Buffalo, -7, that was a steamroll. 78% on Indy, -14, they ended up pulling away pretty good. And 73% on the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night, a winner there. But the top ticket producers or the top tickets written, it was not pretty for those three teams, Atlanta, Cincy, and San Fran. Lopsided tickets to this point this week, entering week 9 of the NFL. 92% on the New England Patriots, -6.5 against Atlanta. Watch out for that one. 92% on the Rams, -14 against the New Orleans Saints. 91% on the Lions, -9 against Minnesota. 89% on the Chargers, -9.5 at Tennessee. 88% on Dallas, -2.5 against Arizona. 87% on Green Bay, -13.5 against Carolina. And 87% on Seattle, -3.5 at Washington. Baltimore, 2-5. They are the -120 betting favorite to win the AFC North. That doesn't say much for the Steelers. That is for sure. NFL favorites 11-2 in week 8. Highest percentage in a single week since 1998. 9-2-2 to the over. So that's pretty crazy. Overs and favorites. Never a good weekend for the books. And we did feel it. So let's hope that turns around. NFL favorites to this point 82-35 and one straight up. 65-53 ATS and overs. 65-54 on the season thus far. All right, keep it rolling here on Bettors Last Stand. Show number 149 coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. We got some special stuff to get to today, something we don't get to talk about as much as I would hope here on the show, but that's all right. We're going to talk about it today, and that is some horse racing. The Breeders' Cup is in Del Mar in California out there in San Diego area where the turf meets the surf, they like to call it, and you can check it out all weekend long. You got races going on right now, actually, all day Friday and all day Saturday with some of the best races that you'll ever find. These are the probably the top card in the world as far as notoriety goes. Now, there are some great meets. The Royal Ascot meet in June is a wonderful meet over there in England. One of the best grass racing meets there is. But this has dirt and grass at Del Mar, beautiful Del Mar, and it's going to be a great weekend. So hopefully we can find a few winners. I'm going to have my picks posted at BLS_PRP as always. So go check those out, my final picks, because I'm only going to have time to really talk about one race here in depth, and that is the Breeders' Cup Classic, and that's the one that most people will be they're going to be the most familiar with the horses in that race. So that is going to be race number 9 on Saturday. It's a 6:25 post time on the East Coast. 1.25 miles they'll go at Del Mar. This is called the Breeders' Cup Classic, one of the best races. And it was going to be on paper arguably the best Breeders' Cup Classic ever with the amount of quality horses that were in this. But we did get some really bad news yesterday, and that was that Sovereignty, your champion of the Traverse Stakes, the Jim Dandy. Those are two summertime, big-time races at Saratoga. So you had him. He was the winner there. He also, if you remember, he won the Belmont. He won the Kentucky Derby. He was the horse that skipped the Preakness, went to the Belmont, ended up winning two of the three Triple Crown races. He hasn't lost since back at the Florida Derby, his last prep race. But he's not going to run. He spiked a fever. They gave him some meds. The fever went down and then went right back up after the meds wore off. So that is a bad sign. And trainer Bill Mott not going to take any chances especially with the money that's on the line with this horse as far as breeding goes, and you're just not going to see anybody take a shot. Plus, it's pretty much mandatory now that if he runs a fever at this point, less than 72 hours before the race that he's scheduled to be in, that he's going to have to scratch. So, total bummer there. Really, really bad luck for the connections for Sovereignty. If you remember, he was a horse we were on pretty heavily back on the Derby trail. We actually liked that Florida Derby race, knowing Bill Mott, knowing how he doesn't have horses ramped up. We thought there was some definite value on him, and we had him. So hopefully you were able to get on that one. He was pretty hard to beat. So we would have loved to have seen him get to face off with a few of these horses that you'll recognize the names from a couple of years past, including Sierra Leone, who ran third in the Derby a few years ago, or second in the Derby last year. And you have Mindframe, and you have Journalism, who he beat several times already. But it would have been really nice to see all these horses get a crack at each other. All right, let's go through the field here. We'll start it off with the number one, Fierceness. He is 4-1 on the morning line. He is a four-year-old for Todd Pletcher and Johnny Velasquez. He comes in off a win at the Pacific Classic right here in Del Mar. He's got two races at Del Mar. He had a win and a second, I believe. But a strong, strong horse, no doubt about it. All the horses in this field are pretty good, except for one that I'll get to that has no business being in here. He finished second in this race last year to Sierra Leone. His figures speed-wise are not as good as they were last year at this time. He was running like 111s and you know, 110, 111s. He's down in the 100s, like the 102, 106 range or so. So I'm not certain that his form is still the best that it is. He's 3 out of 4 at this distance as far as in the money. He's got 2 victories. Is he a contender? Absolutely. A lot of people will be picking him on top. I don't love his post draw down inside. He gets Johnny Velasquez, which is always a good thing. But to me, he would only be a use as an underplay. I think there's horses that are just better than him in there. Second horse we're going to talk about, the number two, Baeza, 15-1. He's a 3-year-old. He just raced in the Triple Crown races this past year. John Sheriff's Hector Barrios is the combo there. You know, we were on Baeza quite a bit. He just couldn't seem to get over the hump that was Sovereignty. He finished second to Sovereignty or Journalism in 4 straight races until he finally got his G1 victory at the Pennsylvania Derby back in late September. I like this horse. He can't seem to beat Sovereignty, but Sovereignty's out of the race now, so that might help him a little bit. He ran well in the Belmont, ran well in the Jim Danny. He's improving, and he's got tactical ability, so I think that's really important in this race right here, because you're going to have one speed horse that's going to come out there as a pace setter, basically like Spunky, a rabbit, so to speak, and they're going to go out there, and they're going to fly on the front end, and I'll get to the reason why here in a couple of minutes. Next horse, the number 3, Nevada Beach, 20-1. He's a 3-year-old. Bob Baffert, Mike Smith, comes in off a win in the Goodwood at Santa Anita. He's only raced 4 times in his career. That would be a little bit of concern. These other horses, just so much more class than this horse. Nevada Beach, it's a good sign that you're seeing him go here, I would say. But I don't know what the commitment was to the connections, and if they really just had it circled on their calendar, they were going to do it. This is a big outfit, the Mike Pegram and Watson and Whiteman. They've run horses with Baffert for years and years, and it's one of his top ownership groups. So if they're thinking this horse is good enough to be here, he probably is. But I just don't know when he gets out on the track if he's going to be able to step it up, because he's really going to need to. So he's going to be a toss for me, unless you would use him in the very bottom of a superfecta. Next horse, the number 4, Contrary Thinking. Now, this is a horse who has no business being in here, but there is a reason why. He's 50-1 on the morning line for Chad Brown. Florent Giroux will ride. He is in this race strictly to set a pace for Sierra Leone, who is also trained by Chad Brown. So Chad Brown puts this horse in there. This horse is a good front-end sprinting horse, but he's never going to hold up in this spot. It's just not going to happen. He's never been able to hold up, and this is the best horse group that he's ever faced. He's strictly in there to make sure this pace is honest, so Sierra Leone, the deep closer, will have a shot coming from off the pace. He was a speed and fade in the G1 Jockey Club Gold Cup at Saratoga. Same in the Whitney. He's just not going to be a factor. I mean, he set the pace and finished 7th. He set the pace and finished 9th. Like, this is what this horse is in there to do. You'll see Florent Giroux sending with him. So one thing about pace makes the race. Pace is always the most important factor in these races, is setting it up, how it's going to set up. It's not always the best horse. It's the best horse who gets the right pace and set up in the race. Doesn't have trip traffic and things like that. So in this case, you know, contrary thinking is going to the lead. There's no doubt about it. So he's going. So you do know that. So that helps you handicap this race. And it will tell you that the stalker, the off the pace horses are going to have a shot here. So now it's coming down to which one you think can navigate through this the best and which one you think will have the best late run. The horse that I think is that one and will check all the boxes is the number 5, Forever Young. He's 6-1. He's a 4-year-old. You remember him. He was our Derby pick 2 years ago, not this past spring, but the spring before that. He comes in here for Yoshida Yahagi. Sakai rides back again. He was 3rd in the Derby last year, as I said. He got bumped really bad in the stretch. Really frustrating. I think it was better than anybody that day, and he's shown it. He comes in off a win. He's won 3 out of 4. Had some stops in Japan, Saudi Arabia, and Dubai. Had a prep race in Japan last time out to get himself freshened up. He's been in the money all 6 times at this distance. You know him well. He was in the Derby. Like I said, he finished 3rd. He was in the Breeders' Cup Classic last year, finished 3rd to Sierra Leone. Kind of drifted out. He didn't have the greatest trip, finished behind Sierra Leone and Fierceness, who was the number 1 horse that we talked about. But I think this is the best horse in the race, Forever Young. Now the Sovereignty is out. I thought it was going to be a great match race between those two. I don't think journalism's anywhere on the same pages as Sovereignty, which we've seen twice. At least in, I think, Forever Young would have been. So, yeah, we're going to take a shot with the Forever Young, the 4-year-old on top. The next horse, Sovereignty, of course, scratched. He would have been the 6-5 morning line favorite. Really disappointing. But another use here for me will be Sierra Leone. He's got his pace setter in there, and contrary thinking, Sierra Leone, I mean, is a good horse. Chad Brown, 4-year-old. He's 8-1. Flavian Pratt rides. He was 2nd in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. He's the defending champion in this race. He's going to come with a massive closing kick. We liked him on the Derby day, too. We actually had that 2 out of the 3 finishers in that one. We did not have Mystic Dan, but that's okay. It wasn't a terrible day for us. Sierra Leone is going to have a shot here. There's going to be pace. He's 1-for-1 at Del Mar, which is this race last year. He's always in the money at this distance, 5-for-5. So I think he's got a real chance, and he would be my 2nd choice at the betting window to win the race. Number 8, Mindframe. I got a sneaky feeling about Mindframe. He's 10-1. He's a 4-year-old for Todd Pletcher and Irad Ortiz. He lost his rider in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. He flipped Irad off and some traffic. He won the Stephen Foster in the Churchill Downs, both at Churchill Downs. He's solid. Hasn't been on this surface. So I don't know how he'll take to it. But he could get first run on the leader here, which is going to be contrary thinking. He's going to fold out of this thing. And one thing back to Forever Young and Baeza, both of those horses have tactical speed. They can come from off the pace, or they can be up forward. So I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a kind of a jockey's race. You're going to see, where are they going to be? Where is Forever Young going to be? Should he sit 3rd or 4th off the rail? I don't know. Pace scenario is hard to figure out here. A lot of the pace projectors have him on or near the lead. I don't agree with that. I think it's without question that contrary thinking is going to go. I think Forever Young will probably try to sit 2nd or 3rd, and I think Baeza will be right there with them. But you're also going to see Mindframe, who might get the first run of the mid-pack horses. He's got a pretty decent late kick. I'm not saying he can win this race, but I think he could hit the board. So take a minor shot with Mindframe underneath, thinking he will have a prayer here. Journalism, has he gotten better? I don't know. He's 10-1. Mike McCarthy, he's a 3-year-old. You know him from the Triple Crown. He won the Preakness. He had got beat by Sovereignty in the Derby and Belmont. I think he's a good horse. Jose Ortiz rides, so that's an upgrade to me. Rispoli, we talked about the concerns with Rispoli. He's a grass rider, and he made that really risky move at the Preakness, and it worked. But had that not, it could have really hurt the horse badly and a lot of other horses. So I think this makes a lot of sense getting Jose Ortiz. That's a great upgrade there. I'm not sure he's tough enough to win against these horses. He's good. He's really talented. But he reminds me of like a guy that plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's kind of soft. He can score. He's got great talent. But when it comes to playoff hockey and tough times, I don't know if he can do it. He won the Preakness. He won the Haskell. Not the greatest fields in those. Just okay. 2nd in the Pacific Classic, the Fierceness. So to me, he's kind of taken a step down. I don't think he's bad by any means. He's been on the exact 9 out of 9 times. I can't fault him for that. So if you're going to use him underneath. And then the last horse on the docket is the number 10, and that is Antiquarian. And he's Todd Pletcher too. He's 15-1. He's a 4-year-old. Saez will ride. He upset a couple of the big horses, including Sierra Leone, at the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Saratoga back in late August. He's never ran at Del Mar. He's just won for four at this distance. I don't really think this horse belongs in here. He won the Peter Pan. He was fifth in the Belmont last year behind Dornick and Mindframe Sierra. To me, he's just a cut below, so he will definitely be a toss. So, again, my top picks will be the 5 Forever Young, followed by the 7 Sierra Leone, followed by the 2 by Aza, followed by the 8 Mindframe. I can't blame you for taking Fierceness and number 1 and putting him in or Journalism underneath. I'm not real high on Nevada Beach. Contrary Thinking has no chance. And Antiquarian, I don't think has a chance either. So do with that what you will. And that will be our plays for the Breeders' Cup Classic. That is a 6:25. It's race 9, 6:25 Eastern time race. So you're going to want to take a look at that one. I'll have all these picks posted at BLS_PRP. And then before we get into football action here with a few more minutes left in the show, well, we still got a little bit of time left. So let me go over a couple other races that I got my eye on. I'm not going to go through the entire fields for you because that'll take too long. Because some of these have a lot of horses in them. And, you get a lot of the Europeans shipping in to run on the grass here. It's going to be a great weekend of racing. I'm very excited about it. So let's hope we can make a little bit of money here on Bettors Last Stand. So BLS_PRP is where you're going to want to be on Friday and Saturday. Any of the plays that I have. Friday's card, a lot of the younger horses running that day. So that one's a little bit trickier as far as for me. You're having to go back and look at a lot of pedigree form and a lot of things and just kind of trending things that will say, okay, I'm going to check this box. This horse seems to be headed in the right direction. You're kind of gambling on that. But you can also look at the tote board. And a lot of times when there is word out on these young horses in a barn, they tend to run right up with their odds. So keep an eye out there. But I'll have all my picks posted at BLS_PRP, including the classic that we just went over. All right, so Saturday races here, the Breeders' Cup Turf. It's race 8, and it features a horse called Rebel Romance. He is a Great Britain horse. He is 5-2 in the morning line. He runs for the ownership group of Godolphin. He's trained by Charlie Appleby, ridden by William Buick. He is 13-18 at this distance. He won this race last year. He won the Turf Classic at Aqueduct last month easily. This horse is just really good. Rebel Romance, just a great gelding. He's been good so many times, and I think he's got another good run in him here. So we'll take a shot with him. He is the number 1 in race number 8. The underuses in that one, Wimbledon Hawkeye, 20-1. Frankie Dettori on him. He's 2-3 at the distance in the money, so I think he's worth a shot. Mini Hawk, an Irish bred for Aidan O'Brien and Christophe Suleiman, who will ride there. He is the number 8. This horse is getting a lot of talk, and Mini Hawk could be very, very live here. He's 8-5 on the morning line. I don't love that price. That's why I'm going to try to beat him with Rebel Romance. But Aidan O'Brien, Christophe Suleiman, you cannot be overlooked. She's a filly coming in to face the boys. Comes over from France, where she had run pretty decent the last few outings. The number 10, El Cordobas, a Godolphin horse as well. Charlie Appleby trains for that one. Billy Lochnane will ride. He was 3rd in the Clement Hirsch, and he was behind Rebel's Romance. So he ran a decent race there. He also won the Sword Dancer, and he's 6-6 in the money at this distance. So El Cordobas, the number 10. So that would go 1. I was missing. Rebel Romance on top, the 1, followed by the 6, Wimbledon Hawkeye, and the 8, Mini Hawk, and the 10, El Cordobas. Those would be our 4 picks in the Breeders' Cup Turf. That's race 8 on Saturday at Del Mar. Next race to talk about, race number 10. It is the Breeders' Cup Turf Mile, race number 10. Number 2, Notable Speech, Great Britain bred, 5-2 for Godolphin again. Charlie Appleby, the trainer. William Buick, the rider. He won the Woodbine Mile last month. He was 3rd in this race last year. These connections had won this race 3 straight years. They won it in 21, 22, and 23. So that's Godolphin, Appleby, William Buick. I have no reason to try to beat him here. I think this horse is going to be really, really sharp and really, really good. So the number 2, Notable Speech, on top at the Breeders' Cup Mile at the price of 5-2. Underuses in that race, you have Argon, who is a Japanese bred. Frankie Dettori will ride. He's 20-1. He's got good races in Japan, which tells me that he's a little bit live here. So not a bad price on him at 20-1 to use underneath. The Lion in Winter, an Irish bred. The number 4 for Aidan O'Brien again, and Christophe Suleiman. Good prep at Ascot. He is going to be live, I would say, with a really good chance. I've heard a few people tipping him as a potential wise guy horse there in race number 10 on Saturday. And then Johannes, who's 8-1. He's the number 7 for Tim Yakteen and Umberto Rispoli. Again, Rispoli, great grass rider. He was second here last year. Johannes, we had him last year, and I've used him a few times, and this horse has a lot of heart, and he's going to battle, and Rispoli on board tells me he will have a chance. Rispoli knows his track really well, and I think the horse will be live. So again, Notable Speech, the number 2 on top, followed by Argon, the number 9, the Japanese bred, then the number 4, the Lion of Winter, and then the number 7, Johannes, at 8-1. That is in race 10 on Saturday. Breeders' Cup Mile, race number 11 on Saturday. This is the Dirt Mile. I don't really have a play here, but the race features Mystic Dan, the Derby winner from 2 years ago for Kenny McPeak. Now he's without Brian Hernandez as his rider, who got hurt really bad in a bad accident and is out of action. It's got Nisos for Bob Baffert, Goal Oriented for Bob Baffert, Citizen Bull for Bob Baffert, White Abario, who you've known many, many years. He's been running on the high-end circuit for Safi Joseph. Full Serrano would be the horse I would go with, at 7-2. John Sadler, Joe Rosario, if I had to make a pick. And then the Breeders' Cup Philly Turf. It's a one-mile race. It's race number 1 mile and 3/8 race, race 12. The number 14, See the Fire. He's 5-1 on the morning line. Great Britain horse. Andrew Balding is the trainer. Oisin Murphy. This is great rider, Oisin Murphy. I'm so happy that he came in to ride this horse. I think this horse was really good. And then Oisin Murphy on top makes him even more of a contender to me. Strong form in France and Great Britain, including Ascot and Newmarket runs. He's in the money for the last 5, and he has had a slow build to this race. I think they've been targeting this for a while. So Oisin Murphy and the number 14, See the Fire, at 5-1. He would be my top use in race number 12 at Del Mar. The underuses, Cinderella's Dream, 9-2 for Godolphin, Charlie Appleby and William Buick. This is he was second in this race last year and was surging late. So I think he'll be very sharp, and he might have a shot of winning if he fires correctly. Well, it's a filly mare, turf, duh. The number 6, Diamond Rain, also a horse worth using. 6-1, Appleby and Longnane on board for him. Second at Woodbine to She Feels Pretty, who's going to be a contender in this one, but could be suited for this little bit of a cutback. So those are the horses I like. They'll be up at BLS_PRP. I wish I could talk about horse racing even more, but we got football to get to, and we're going to shift right over there right now. Let's go to the EPL real quickly here on Bettors Last Stand. Show number 149 coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. Thanks for listening here on the Watchdog Network, and we'll get you ready for high school football tonight. You only got John Marshall in action against Point Pleasant at Monarch Stadium, but we'll have Wheeling Park and Wheeling Central back in action as soon as we know who they're going to play. Well, we know who Wheeling Park will play next week. They'll be at JM, but then Wheeling Central will await their playoff opponent here in a few weeks. And here, all right here on the Watchdog Network, EPL, Brighton and Leeds. Brighton's off a cup match today. They're currently in a 0-0 game right now with Arsenal, who continues to be incredible defensively. Terrible loss last week for Brighton to Manchester United. 7 of the last 8 in this series have gone under. So we're going to go with an over, obviously. Brighton to score over 1.5 goals. I like them, and I like them on the money line. Burnley and Arsenal. Still, Arsenal has not allowed a goal in the last 5 matches entering today. Arsenal -1.25 on the Asian handicap, and under is my play there. I think they'll win to nil in this game against lowly Burnley. Palace and Brentford. Palace winless in 4 entering today's cup match with Liverpool. I like BTTS in this one. There's been BTTS in the last 6 in this fixture, so I'm going to take the BTTS, and I'm also going to have Brentford to score a goal. Fulham and Wolves. Fulham off a cup win over Wycombe yesterday. Wolves just scored on Chelsea, but they're getting beat anyway. Wolves is winless in 4. BTTS the last 5, so we're going to go BTTS and over 2.5 in Fulham and Wolves. Forest in Manchester United. Forest have 1 win in 12. Oh, man, United has won 3 straight. I like the over 2.5 in that one. Spurs and Chelsea, big London derby here. Chelsea has won the last 4 in the series. Both teams not playing real well. Chelsea just up and down, horrible loss to Sunderland last week at home. We'll go with both teams to score in the London derby. Liverpool and Aston Villa. Liverpool has lost 5 of 6. They're playing right now. Can they get a win today? They're trailing 2-0 at Crystal Palace, so not good there. Villa has won 5 out of 6. 3 out of 4 over in this one. Liverpool needs it really bad. I like both teams to score. West Ham and Newcastle. West Ham continues to be awful. Last 2 have stayed under between these 2 teams. Newcastle playing today. Newcastle's not been great outside of the home games. I like the under in this one. City and Bournemouth. 9 of the last 10 in the series have gone over. City's 1-0, or lost 1-0 to Villa last week. Bournemouth have not lost in 7 matches. Both teams to score in over 2.5 will be the play. I take a small shot on Bournemouth as Manchester City's a little iffy currently. Sunderland and Everton. Sunderland has won 3 out of 4, including a win last week against Chelsea. Everton has won 4 out of 5 in the series, but they have won just once in 7 overall. So some things that at hand in this one. Can Sunderland keep it rolling? They've been playing well. Sunderland to score 2 goals, plus 180. Sunderland or draw, that's a good plus price. So we'll take a shot at the Stadium of Light on Sunderland again to keep it going. All right, let's get into the football part of the card, the pigskin, the tackle football. I didn't think this week's college card is very good. I know a lot of people disagree with me there, but I don't know. Friday night game right here. Right here on this night of the week. Happy Halloween. Memphis at Rice. Rice catching 14 at home. The total 49.5. Off a big win. We had Memphis last week off the win over USF. I'm going to go with Rice here plus the 14. I think this is a bad spot for the Memphis Tigers to go on the road. Rice, pretty good defense. Penn State and Ohio State. Penn State catching 20.5 at Ohio State. 43.5 is the total. This is going to be the game of the year. We're not anymore. 8 out of the last 10 and 6 out of the last 7 have been under in this tie. I'm going under 43.5. I wouldn't put it past Penn State to cover in this. They do have players. They just got to figure it out. They can't win, but they definitely could cover. So I'll pass on the side under 43.5 all the way in that one. Army and Air Force. Army catching 1.5. 48.5 is the total. 10 out of 10 to the under since 2005. I don't think this to me, I don't. I think like there'll be points in this game. Both these teams have changed the styles of their offense. So we're going to go over 48.5 in that one. Duke at Clemson. Clemson minus 3.5. The total is 55.5. 7 of the last 10 over in Duke games. I like Duke in this game catching the field goal. I think they can score some points here, and I think they'll hang in this game, if not win it. Buffalo and Bowling Green. Bowling Green minus 1.5. Total 43.5. 7 of the last 10 under in this series. I like the under. We've been pretty good on MAC totals the last couple of weeks. We'll go under 43.5 in Buffalo and Bowling Green. Alabama at UConn. UConn minus 11.5. Yeah, that's right. They're favored. 64 is the total there. I'll take the Huskies at home. I'm not impressed with UAB at all, and UConn's been decent, so I think they take care of business. Rutgers at Illinois. Illinois minus 12.5. 62.5 is the total. Illinois lost 2 in a row. Rutgers, yeah, they're okay. I don't really have a play on this game. Both these teams would scare me quite a bit. Navy at North Texas. North Texas minus 6.5. The total 65.5. Oh, Navy just 2-5 ATS, but they are 7-0 on the season. North Texas is 7-1. Navy's got Notre Dame up next. This might be a shot for North Texas. They might blow Navy out here in this game. I hope that doesn't happen, but if I had to make a play in this game, it's definitely going to be North Texas. Miami at SMU. SMU catching 12.5, the total 51. Miami comes in 6-1, SMU 5-3. Bad loss last week, though, at Wake Forest. We told you that was going to be a concern. Going on the road at Wake Forest in a spot that might have been a look-ahead spot. I'm going to pass on this game. No real feel of any kind. Vanderbilt at Texas. Texas minus 2.5. Total 44.5. Vandy 7-1. Texas 6-2. Texas has to have this to make the playoff, to have any prayer. Vanderbilt, I would say, needs it too, but I think Texas is the more vulnerable team here as far as desperation goes. Vandy could still be smelling themselves a little after the big win against Missouri last week. We'll take the Longhorns. Central Florida at Baylor. Baylor minus 4, 59.5. A lot of play on Central Florida here. 2-0 to the over in these two teams when they've met. 1-7 run ATS for Baylor. So I'm staying away from side on this one. We'll go over 59.5. West Virginia at Houston. You can hear that one right here on the Watchdog. WVU 2-6. Houston 7-1. 13.5 point favorites here. The total 49.5. Houston off a big win against Arizona State last week, so this could be a letdown spot, but Mountaineers are so bad, I couldn't play them. Arizona State at Iowa State. Iowa State minus 7, a total 49. Arizona State's quarterback is out. This thing opened 4.5 up to 7. It would be Iowa State or pass, but I don't like Iowa State again. I liked them last week, but I don't like them this week. East Carolina at Temple. East Carolina lays 4.5 on the road. The total is 58.5. And East Carolina has won the last 4 in the series. 7 of the last 10 have stayed under the total. No play for me, though, in that one. Louisville at Virginia Tech. Louisville, 10.5-point road favorite. 53.5 is the total. Tricky spot for Louisville. This could be, if Tech's starting to come back around a little. They're playing a little bit better since they fired their coach. So I would say Tech or pass in that one. Indiana at Maryland. People keep waiting for Indiana to stub their toe. It's not going to happen. -21.5. 50.5 is the total. 9 out of 10 between these two teams have went over. I like the over. I like Indiana here. I think Indiana pounds Maryland. And Indiana, to me, next to Ohio State, they're the best team that I've seen by far this year. I'm very impressed with them. A lot of people think they're frauds. They were kind of frauds last year. I don't think they are this year. They're really good. Texas Tech at K-State. Tech lands 7 on the road, 52.5. Kansas State, 8-2 run ATS against Texas Tech. Texas Tech has lost 8 in a row to K-State. So something's got to give here. We'll see. Maybe it just continues and Kansas State continues the domination. I don't know, but I'll take Texas Tech. I think they're the better team. Georgia at Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Georgia -7, 50.5 in Jacksonville. They've won the last 4 against Florida. ATS-wise, they balance it out 5-5. Gators have played a little bit better. I think they could be tricky here. I'd lean Florida, but I think Georgia wins the game. Notre Dame at BC. Notre Dame -28.5, 56.5 is the total. Ah, man, I don't know. It was down from 58.5. The Notre Dame team, to me, is just an offensively oriented team, but I don't know. 7 of the last 10 in this series have stayed under, so maybe that's a sign that why the number's moving downward, but no real play there. Fresno and Boise, 17.5 is what Boise lays at home, 15.5 the total, 7 of the last 10 under in that one, no play. Old Dominion opened 14.5 favorite against Monroe. They are now up to 17 total, 53, no play on that one. Michigan State and Minnesota. Minnesota now down to -3. They opened -5. The total 44.5. Yes, Minnesota, very Jekyll and Hyde team. They were terrible last week. Humiliated. Just absolutely humiliated. But they're 8-1 ATS against Michigan State in the last 9. I like them here. I think laying the 3, get a better number. I will take the Golden Gophers and P.J. Fleck to bounce back against a really bad Michigan State team. Louisiana against South Alabama. South Alabama -4, total 54. Last 5 under in this series. That's where we're going. Pitt at Stanford's. Pitt -14.5. 51.5. Pitt, surprisingly 6-2 somehow. One of their losses to WVU. I would not lay 14.5 with Pitt here. It'd be Stanford or pass for me. Virginia at Cal. Virginia -4.5, 53.5 the total. They're 7-1. This is a tricky spot. We'll take the Golden Bears. I think they'll be pesky here. I think they might have a shot of beating Virginia outright. Mississippi State at Arkansas. Mississippi State's lost the last 4 games, but they covered all of them. They've just been so close to winning. They're going to win one of these games here at some point. Arkansas's lost 6 straight. I don't know how they're laying points here. I'll take Mississippi State +4.5. The total in this one, 67.5. That would be an under or nothing there, but we'll go with the Bulldogs. Oklahoma State at Kansas. Kansas 24.5, 57.5 is the total in that one. 1-9 ATS Kansas is against Oak State, but times have changed. I just don't think that this is the same caliber Oak State team that we were looking at the last 10 installments there. So probably Kansas or nothing. Purdue at Michigan. Purdue catching 21 here. The total's 50. Michigan's beat Purdue the last 6 times, 6 of the last 8 have stayed under in this. I like Purdue here. To me, they're staying in these games. They're not getting, I mean, they're getting beat bad, but they're right around the numbers often. So 3 touchdowns is quite a bit. I'll take a shot with Purdue on the road. Arizona and Colorado. Arizona lays 4.5, the total 53, 7 of the last 10 over in that one. It would be over or nothing for me. South Carolina at Ole Miss. Ole Miss -12.5, 54.5. Ole Miss is just way better than South Carolina. I don't think they'll have a letdown spot. They play the Citadel next. So even if they kind of do, they'll be able to win this game, and then they can limp into next week and win no matter what. I would take Ole Miss at home. I know it's they've been on an emotional roller coaster lately, but I'll take them. South Carolina's just not very good, especially on the road. Tennessee -3, total 57 against Oklahoma. Bad spot for Oklahoma. Their schedule very, very tough. 3-0 to the under in this series. I would lean to the under, but I like the Volunteers at home to take care of business. Georgia Tech and NC State. Georgia Tech lays 5.5 on the road, the total 57.5. Everything in conventional wisdom says to play NC State in this spot. Everything would say take NC State, public all over Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech probably a little inflated power rating, but I can't trust NC State. They're just such a bad program. I'll sit this one out. 6 of the last 7 over, maybe the over. Washington State at Oregon State. Washington State -3.5 on the road, the total 48. Washington State is a pretty decent team. for the quality of schedule that they played. They're 4-4. I think they're pound Oregon State in this game. 8 of the last 10 over between these former Pac-12 rivals. Kentucky at Auburn. Auburn minus 10.5, 45.5. Don't know how Auburn's laying 10.5 in this game, but Kentucky's really bad. We'll pass on that one. Wake Forest at Florida State. Florida State minus 9.5, total 50.5. 8 of the last 10 under in this one, being under or nothing. USC at Nebraska. USC has traditionally struggled badly as a road favorite, especially under Lincoln Riley. They're 5-2. Nebraska 6-2. I think Nebraska stinks, though. I'll take a shot. USC gets it on track and whips Nebraska, who's got problems in their program right now with Matt Rhule halfway out the door. And then Cincinnati at Utah, 7-1 Cincy, 6-2 Utah. Utah 8.5, total 56. Be Utah or nothing here, but I can't trust either one of these teams. I don't think either one of them are very good. All right, keep it rolling here. We got a couple minutes left here. Got to speed through our NFL picks in week number 9. That's okay, because I don't really want to talk about these games anyway. The Chargers and Titans, great game there. Chargers 9-1 to the over against an opponent who's coming off of a 21-point or more loss. So 43.5 is the total here. Chargers lay 9.5. We'll go over 43.5. Chicago at Cincinnati. What will Flacco's status be? The Bears laying 2.5. Bears beat at Baltimore last week. 52.5 is the total. Bengals defense can't stop anybody. Justin Fields looked like Joe Montana last week, and that's not good. So I'm going to go over 52.5 in this game. I'll lean Bears, especially if Flacco doesn't play, we'll go with the Bears. Colts at Steelers. Steelers, a pathetic performance last week. They made us look like fools. I thought they'd win that game for sure. Their defense is an atrocity. And Mike Tomlin is one of the worst coaches that I've ever seen. His second half adjustments are pathetic the last two games. Colts lay 3 on the road, total 50.5. Really, the Colts should beat the Steelers by 3 touchdowns. 8 of the last 10 over in between these two. They've struggled, though, in Pittsburgh. So maybe Tomlin writes the ship and figures something out. But the way that things looked over the last few weeks, the Steelers absolutely stink. And the Colts are really good. San Francisco at the Giants. San Fran minus 2.5, total 48.5. No real play here. Giants have lost their two best players. I don't know how much longer they can keep this up. I would probably say San Francisco wins this game at a businesslike performance on the road. Atlanta at New England. Everybody beating their chest about New England. It's minus 6 is the number here. 45 is the total. Penix, will he be back? I don't know. Falcons embarrassed us last week, but that's what you get. We told you the Falcons stunk. We knew that. We just thought the spot was good against the Dolphins at home. Terrible. Absolutely pathetic. We told you a long time ago, Atlanta's not to be taken serious. They're clearly not. The Patriots 5-0 against Atlanta in their last five, including that Super Bowl comeback win. Minnesota at Detroit, it'll be 8.5. Now, back to that game there really quickly. This is a spot where I would say, in my mind, play the Falcons, because the whole world says they stink, which I say they stink, but I'm still not certain New England's that good either. So it'd be Falcons or pass, even though I think the Falcons are terrible. Minnesota at Detroit, 8.5 is the number here. Detroit lays it, 48. 7 of the last 10 have gone over the total. And I really think that this could be an ugly one for the Minnesota Vikings. I think that you're going to see a really impressive performance out of the Lions. They've won 5 straight against Minnesota. I think it keeps up. We'll lay the 8.5. Carolina at Green Bay. Carolina's got no chance. Everybody's told me all week. 13 is the number. 44.5 is the total. Green Bay's had the last 4 games go over. Carolina, to me, they'll be live for a backdoor cover here. I'll take them plus the 13. Denver at Houston. This should be a defensive battle. 7 of the last 9 under between these two. 39.5 is the total. Houston lays 1.5 at home. Denver just cheats death every week. They're not any good, but they keep winning against crummy teams and dumb coaches. 39.5 will go under the total there. Jacksonville at the Raiders. Raiders have to have it. They're plus 3 at home. What are they going to do with quarterback? I don't know. Brock Bowers is supposed to be back. That's got to help. 45 is the total. I think Jacksonville's terrible. Plus 3 will take the Raiders. New Orleans at the Rams. Rams minus 14, total 44. I like the Rams team total over 27.5. You can find that around minus 120. I think they'll score probably 31 or so in this game. So we'll go with that for now in that one. Kansas City at Buffalo, minus 2 on the road for Pat Mahomes. 52.5 is the total. The Chiefs, 10-1 before a bye week to the over. So over 52.5 makes a lot of sense. Chiefs have won the last 3 in the series. Last 3 in the series have went over. I like the Chiefs here. I think they're the better team, and they're playing very well. I just don't think Buffalo has any talent on offense except for Josh Allen, and James Cook's okay. Washington hosts Seattle. Everybody wants Seattle coming off a bye. They're -3.5 coming to the East Coast. 46.5 is the total. I'll be on the Redskins here. I think the Redskins rate the ship here. They're not as bad as the results have indicated. They'll get Daniels back, get him healthy a little bit. They got to figure out a few things on defense, get a little healthy there, and I think that they'll be okay. I'll take them catching the field goal at home. And then the final game, it's Arizona Cardinals on the road at the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Dallas -2.5, the total 54. Dallas was agonizing to watch last week. Arizona comes in off a bye. They've lost five straight games. I think this is an over. I don't see how you play any Dallas games under ever. We'll go over the 54 here. I'd lean Dallas in this matchup, though. I think that they could be somewhat live to win at home, as they've been pretty decent at home over the years. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Bettors Last Stand, a really jam-packed version here on show number 149, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. Thanks for listening on the Watchdog Network. John Marshall football coming your way at 7 o'clock, and we'll have Wheeling Park back in action against John Marshall next week. Wheeling Central to come here in the following weeks, or in the coming weeks, to see who they play in the playoffs for West Virginia. That's going to do it for us. Have a safe and wonderful Halloween and a safe and wonderful weekend. Enjoy all the sports. Enjoy the last weekend of the sports equinox. It should be a good one. We will see you back here on Bettors Last Stand next week. And thanks for listening to the Watchdog Network.